In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. Saint Norbert, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as Peter just mentioned, we're on step three. The last two talks that we gave, the first one was on the sacrificing of our human will in honor of God. And we, again, this is very intense to sacrifice your human will. That you have to put it on the altar and sacrifice it. and that's it's not as easy as everybody thinks, because you know, it's not just saying, I'm going to do this. It's continuous, day by day. The second part was to empty yourself of the human will, excuse me, to constitute the divine will as the principle of our life. So we want this principle of our life to be the divine will. It's a conscious choice. And now today, we're going to focus on deciding with a firm resolution to no longer give life. And that means every day, every minute, when you become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, or negative, when you're doubting, you're going to decide, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm not going to give life to the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints. So this is what we're going to learn today. This is what Our Lady taught Luisa. It is so glorious. It is so magnificent that... Nothing can bother you. It's not that you don't care. It's everything is fiat. Whether, you know, you are in a joyful or a sorrowful mood, whether you're, whether it's rainy out or sunny out, nothing will bother you. Why? Because your whole confidence, your whole trust is in God. So Our Lady says this in the Virgin Mary and the King of the Divine Will. If with a firm resolution you decide no longer to give life to your human will, listen to this, you shall feel all the evils die within you. That means no more worry. That's an evil. Jesus says, does worry add one moment to your life? And then he says, of course it doesn't. And then he says, stop worrying. This is a command from Jesus Christ. So if you no longer give life to your human will, you shall feel all the evils die within you, and all the goods, all that is of God, come back to life. And the back to life is the image and likeness of God that God breathed into Adam. And then everything shall make you smile. See, this is what's so wonderful about the little children, the Holy Divine Will. They're always happy. You know, and people say, why are you so happy? Don't you know what's going on right now? Don't you understand all the difficulties that's happening? And yes, it's there, but I trust in God. I believe in God. I hope in God. I have confidence in God because of what he is going to do. You know, our trust is in him, not in the situation, not in the darkness. And then everything shall smile at you. The divine will shall take the third step also in you. So these are the steps that God wants to accomplish within each and every one of us. Again, the first step is sacrificing our human will. The second step is constituting the divine will as the principle of our life. And now the third step is to decide with a firm resolution to no longer give life to misery. He says, Our Lady says, the divine will shall take the third step also in you, and all creation shall make festivity for the newly arrived in the kingdom of divine will. See, this peace, joy, and happiness means you begin to live heaven. You begin to live the life of peace, joy, and happiness. You begin to live the life that the saints possess in heaven. There's no worry in heaven, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity. And that's why Jesus says, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, he says, then you are anticipating hell. If you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, he says, you are anticipating heaven. So this is what's so glorious about this. And then Our Lady says, so my child, tell me. See, when we read the Book of Heaven, when we read the Hours of the Passion, when we read the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, we become, we enter into a dialogue with Jesus and Mary. So she says, tell me. So she wants to hear from us. Our Lady wants us to respond. Will you listen to me? Basically, are you going to read and study and put this into practice? And when we say, yes, Our Lady, I want to do that. She says, do you give me your word? Do you promise that you shall never do your human will? And we know ourselves. We know we're going to fail. But we say, with your help, with your strength, with the grace of God, I promise you, I will never do my human will again. This is what God is waiting for. And what does he do? He sends his mother to ask us this question. Do you promise, do you give me your word that you'll never do your human will again, ever again? So in the morning when we do our prevenient act, we say, I don't want to do my human will today. I promise you, with your grace, with the grace of God coming through you, Blessed Mother, I will not do my human will. That's how we start each day. And then she says, you must know this, that if you do this, I, Mary, the Blessed Mother, shall never leave you. What does that mean? That means we enter into her life. We enter into her DNA. It's we everything in us begins to change. It's not fretting. It's not worrying. It's not complaining. It's not negative. We have to become like Our Lady, full of confidence and trust and peace. She says, I will never leave you, and I shall place myself as guardian of your soul. So when the worries, the fears, the anxieties, the complaints come to you, and they're going to come to you because God's going to test you. That's part four. Part four is proof of giving my fiat. I'm going to give proof to you. I'm going to give proof to you, Lord Jesus, that I'm going to give my fiat. This is what we're going to do the next day of recollection, which will be in Rome City, Indiana. It's a three-day retreat. I'm going to give proof of giving you my fiat because I'm going to accept your test. We're going to get into this in August. We're going to get into this. What's the acceptance of the test? It's the test of that God gave to Abraham. You know, every one of us has to go through that test, the test of Abraham. Our Lady says, I shall place myself as a guardian of your soul, and I, Mary, shall envelop you with my light. As Theotokos, the mother of God, so that no one may dare to ever disturb my child again. No one, you see, when we pass this test, when we promise, when we get closer to Jesus and Mary through Louisa, we're going to pass this test because we will receive the grace that Louisa received. And therefore, we have to be tested as Louisa was tested. She says, no one may ever dare to disturb my child, and I, Mary, shall give you my rule, that you may rule over all the evils of your human will. So it's not going to even be us that's going to do that. It's going to be the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So this is what God has promised us through his Blessed Mother. When we read the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will, what God is saying to us is, get ready to live an abundant life. Don't trust on yourself. We're weak. You know, we go to confession each week. We are inconstant. We go to Jesus, the Son of God. We go to Mary, the Mother of God, through this little newborn Louisa. Why? What they gave to her astonishes heaven. It astonishes heaven. What they gave to Louisa is to return back to the preternatural life that Adam possessed, that Adam lost. A life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. The saints did not have this on earth. Louisa did. This astonishes the saints. They know what they had to go through to receive this gift of doing the will of God. That's great prayer, penance, mortification, all their life. What Jesus has given to Louisa is in Mary, with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve gave to Louisa, is going to astonish the church as well. St. Padre Pio said, Luisa is like a second sun. As the sun sets down in the west, Luisa rises in the east. What does that mean? It means that there will be no more darkness. The worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin will have no part of humanity anymore. Jesus has he started this through this little newborn Luisa. And the most amazing thing is he's offering this to us. If you have the book of heaven, Jesus Christ gave you the book of heaven. He planned it from the beginning of time. He knows that you are one of the ones that Jesus says who must live in the divine will. Who must live. Don't you? It's the same must that Jesus said when Our Lady found Jesus in the temple. You know, why are you here? Why did you do this to your father and me? She says. And Jesus says, did you not know I must be in my father's house? This must is what God wants for us. To do what God has planned from the beginning of time. And how glorious is this? So we'll begin with volume one. This is an amazing, amazing. We can get glimpses of this today in our in society. Volume one, the thing that that an opposing army fears the most is to see courage, to see strength in the way that one confronts the most dangerous fights without fearing anything. That's what you see. This is why there is such anger in the United States today. There is an army who is courageous with strength, who is confronting the most dangerous without fearing anything. Our job is to recognize that there are two sides. There's light and there's dark. The rosary today is to pray for the end of abortion. Our job is for life. Our job is to enter into this abundant life that Jesus and Mary want to give to the world, and through the Holy Church. And there's a huge battle going on, a huge battle. And our side is to be to be courageous, to have strength, to confront the most dangerous fights without fearing anything. There can be no fear in us. Fear says that we don't understand God. The whole reason for Jesus, I trust in you, divine mercy, is to prepare us for this life of the divine will. There's no fear in us. We're going to have to go through some difficulties, absolutely. But God wins. Our trust is in him. So the demons are, there is nothing they fear more than a courageous soul who, all cleaving to me, Jesus, with a strong spirit, goes into their midst, not to be wounded, but with the firm resolve to wound them and to exterminate them. We do not want to do anything against our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. Yesterday was St. Boniface. What did St. Boniface do? He went up to that huge oak tree and chopped it down. The tree that they would worship, he cut it down. No fear in him. It's the same thing today. Hollywood, it's not a misspelling of Hollywood. Hollywood is the tree where witches and warlocks get their power from. And what do? Everybody's following their lead, not anymore. What we want is we want to be faithful and obedient to Christ and his church. We don't, this is the wood that we follow, the wood of the cross. This is what we follow. Not a fake wood. A demonic wood. The Lord loves us very much, and we're in battle. We're at war, and God is looking at us. What side are you on? What side are you on? When Pope Benedict became Pope, the very first words from him were, "Be courageous." The very first words of John Paul II, St. John, Pope John Paul II, he said, do not be afraid. You know, we have been taught how to stand in this time. And it's with courage and it's with no fear. How do you live this life? Jesus is showing us. This is how you're going to do it. This is why you're going to do it. It's found in the Book of Heaven. So this is what's so amazing. The demons fear nothing more than a courageous soul cleaving to Jesus with a strong spirit who goes into the midst not to be wounded, but with a firm resolve to wound them and to exterminate them. We don't put up with evil. The demons are left frightened. The demons are terrified and would rather flee, but they cannot because they are bound to my divine will and they are forced to stay and to their greater torment. Therefore, do not fear them. Do not fear worry, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Doubts. That's of the devil. You don't want any of that. We want total trust, total confidence in Christ our Savior and His Holy Church. We want total trust and total confidence. He says, therefore, do not fear them, for they can do nothing to you. Do you believe that? You're going to have to learn to stand on the battlefield without any fear. And then you will recognize it. If you flee the battlefield, if you say, well, I don't want anybody upset. I don't want to be in trouble. What are you going to do then? You stand for the truth and you die for the truth. And what's so amazing is Jesus says this, don't fear. They can do nothing to you without my divine will. And then, when I see that you can no longer resist it or about to fail, and if you are faithful to me, I, God, shall come immediately. And I, God, shall put everyone to flight. And I, God, shall give you the grace and the strength, the courage. And then he says, therefore, be courageous. Stand as a true soldier of Christ in this army, the strongest army in the world. The army of the little children of the holy divine will. The weapons God gives us are the weapons of love. That's what Jesus and Mary had, the weapons of love. They could stand on the battlefield courageously. This is what God is asking of us. This is what God gave to Louisa, and now Jesus is asking us to embrace this. Volume 6, 9:17-05. The one who feels downhearted, the one who feels dry and depraved of my presence yet remains firm and faithful to her usual practices even more if she takes the opportunity to love me and to search for me more without tiring, then they come to participate in the merits and the goods that my mother Mary acquired when I was lost. You're going to face difficulties, but our job is to be filled with courage. Our job is to begin to live that abundant life of Jesus, that abundant life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Who possesses that? It's Louisa. She's the one who possesses it. And Jesus is saying to us, I want to give this life that Louisa possesses to you. She went through all the difficulties. Our difficulties are nothing compared to what she went through. Somebody asked once, how did Louisa go through her difficulties? Was it difficult for her to not eat? Was it difficult for her not to sleep? She was starving to death. And Jesus said to her, I don't want you to eat anymore. And she said, okay. It didn't disappear like, oh, now it's easy. Once she said it was okay. Then she was really, really starving. And every day, she remember, when you read the hours of the Passion, Jesus asked her, Louisa, to stay up, to stay awake. And she would say, Lord, I'm falling asleep. Wake me up when I fall asleep. I want to obey. When he said to her, don't drink anymore, she was thirst. She was dying of thirst. Why would Jesus do this? He was recreating her. It was taking clay and crushing down and then reforming her. Why? So that she could be our model. We don't have to go through what Louisa went through. Jesus crucified Louisa every day, he says. What Jesus is asking us is, are you willing to participate in this life that Jesus, Mary, and Louisa gave to us? She went through all the difficulties. We don't have to go through that much. We go through a little. You know, we can stub our toe. She could walk, and Jesus said to her, go to bed for the rest of your life. Who of us could have done that? We complained continuously. But Louisa said, okay, when you get to understand who Louisa is, you become astonished. You become astonished. She is the little soul with so much grace that she begins to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. Why? So that we can receive it. Courage. Be courageous. Don't worry about what's happening. 5:6:9:17:05. The one who feels downhearted, dry, deprived of my presence, yet remains firm and faithful to use her practices even more. She takes the opportunity to love me. This is so good. To search for me without tiring, comes to participate in the merits and the goods my mother Mary acquired when I was lost. We begin to live the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. The saints had a virtue or two of Jesus and Mary. What God now wants is the image and likeness. Okay, what image and likeness? It's the image of Jesus, the new Adam, the image of Mary, the new Eve. Who possesses that? At this point, only Louisa. God wants to give this to the world. But what does he say to us through Louisa in the three appeals? The one who will receive this next to Louisa, the fullness of this gift, will be the Holy Father. Why do you think there's so much trouble going on? It's because this gift has to be given to the Holy Father first. Why? He has the keys to the kingdom. What is our job? Our job is to pray for the Holy Father. We pray for the Holy Father. We pray that he be open to this gift. It might be Pope Benedict. It might be Francis. It might be the next. But we pray that the one who has the keys to the kingdom embraces this gift of the divine will. Why? So that the prayer of Jesus at the Last Supper, there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd, will occur. Great things are in store. We have been asked by God to live at the most exciting times of the Holy Church. All the heresies that the church has gone through, every heresy is now attacking the church again. Every single heresy. What happened before, it would be one a century. You know, you would get a heresy. Everything's attacking the church now. Why? Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail. That's a full frontal attack. And unfortunately, even interior, inside the church. Inside and out, it's being attacked. Good. Good. God is going to win. We are on the side of Christ and his holy church. There is nothing to fear. There's nothing to be negative about. There's nothing to complain about. It's to enter into this life of the divine will, which Jesus says the demons are terrified of. Why? It's the true life of Jesus. It's the true life of Mary that God wants to give to the little ones, the little children of the holy divine will. Volume 8, 123, 1908. For the irresolute soul, temporizing gives time and space to the enemies to wage battle. While not giving them time, by showing oneself resolute and unshakable, the doors are closed to the enemy. The one who has good has the good of not even exposing oneself to the brawl. So if he wants to reach his goal quickly, these are the means, and I, Jesus, shall be with him, and he shall be victorious. That's from the book of Revelation. He will reign. He will be victorious. That's us. Jesus is saying, you're not going to be defeated. You can be defeated if you give up. You can be defeated if you surrender. But if you stand and fight for the glory of God, for his holy church, how? Through love, prayer, constantly praying with certitude. We believe, we have trust in you, Jesus. We are confident in you, Jesus. Why do you think Pope St. John Paul gave us divine mercy? We need this trust in God more than anything else in these difficult times. But God isn't going to lose. God wins. And our job is to get so close to God that we are victorious. As he says this, he says it very clearly. He says, and you shall be, you who are with Jesus and Mary through Louisa shall be victorious. Great things are in store. This is the most glorious time to be alive. Not to be afraid. I mean, what's today? Today is the anniversary of D-Day. You know, when you look at those young men on the beaches, they were afraid, but they were courageous. And because of that victory, which took a while, we basically have been freed. The battle that we're going through now is even more severe. It's a spiritual battle that is under the guise of many false images. Our job is to focus on the true image, Jesus Christ and his Blessed Mother. How do we do this? It's through Little Louisa. If you have the Book of Heaven, you have the means to focus on what God has planned for the world. Volume 9, 729, 1910. If you lean on the pillar of my divine will, darkness shall convert into light. Do you believe Jesus? He promises us this. Your doubts will turn into certainty. Your hopes will turn into possession. Do you believe this? If you believe it, tape that to your mirror in your bathroom. So when in the morning, when you look at the mirror, the darkness shall convert into light. Trust Jesus. Trust Mary. Your doubts will turn into certainty. Trust Jesus. Trust Mary. Your hopes will turn into possession. Trust Jesus. Trust Mary. How? Enter into this gift of the divine will. Don't just do the will of God anymore, like the saints, but live in the divine will. The second pillar on which you must lean is the firm will and continuous attention not to offend me, even slightly. Disposing one's own human will to suffer everything, to face everything, to be submitted to everyone, rather than displease me. Find out what the church says and be faithful to the church. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners don't want to listen to the church. They'll compromise. We don't compromise. We say to God, I will be faithful to the end. Because every one of us has to stand before God at the end of our life. And God's going to go through our life. And he's going to say, this is what you thought. This is what you said. This is what you did. This is what you failed to do. And our job is going to be, that's true. And then because of our life, Jesus is going to say, you either enter heaven or enter hell. By how you have lived, by what you have compromised. We can't compromise the church. We can't. You know, it's today, worldwide, we are being asked to compromise. As Catholics, we don't compromise. We can't compromise. We have to be faithful to the end of what we have learned, not in the last 2 months, but what we have learned in the catechism, what we have learned, especially in the divine will. It's God is looking at us and he's saying, I've got eternity planned for you. What do you want? Can you imagine how sad the Lord must be when he sees those souls, even religious souls, who compromise. Jesus didn't compromise. Mary didn't compromise. Louisa didn't compromise. This Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, this blessing that we have will give us such courage, such strength, that it doesn't matter what they say about us. It doesn't matter what they want to do in tearing us down. Jesus loves us very, very much, but he asks us to be like him, image and likeness. He asks us to be like his mother, image and likeness. This is going to be great, what God is doing. So he says this, the second pillar on which you must learn is the firm will and continuous attention of not to offend me even slightly, to dispose one's own human will to suffer everything, to face everything, to be submitted to everyone rather than to displease God. When the soul sees that she is leaning continuously on these two pillars that form more than her very life, then she can live, listen to this, with greater confidence than if she had lived with my continuous favors. More so, since I, Jesus, permitted this state also to dispose you to departing from this earth. So here, our whole goal is to get ready for heaven. Our whole goal is to do this. So our Lord is looking at us, and he's asking us, how do you want to live? Do you want to live your own miserable life with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin? Or do you want to live a life of Jesus and Mary, which is filled with trust and confidence? He says this, and will permit this state to dispose you to getting ready for heaven, to depart from this earth. See, everybody has their goals for this earth. And what we really should be focused on is the things of heaven. That's where we're going to spend eternity. We're here for a very short period of time. We're here, as scripture says, 70 years old or 80 if you're strong. Volume 10, 12:24, 19:10. The souls that are not resolute are good at doing nothing. While on the other hand, when a soul is determined and resolute, he surpasses all difficulties. He melts them. And the very one who raises those difficulties and seeing him so resolute become debilitated and do not have the courage to oppose him. Your families do not want the divine will. They don't. I'm sorry. You want them to have this. But what Jesus has said is this. Jesus has said, I am asking you, the ones who have the book of heaven, to be the yeast, not the flour. He says, everyone else is the flour. Right now, he says, I'm forming the yeast. So you in your family, you are the yeast in your family. You're the divine will in the midst of creatures. The divine will in the midst of your family, in the midst of your neighbors, in the midst of your coworkers, in the midst of your parishioners. They can't. Jesus says their human wills are so strong, they can't surrender their human will. And he says, will you do it for them? Will you stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites? Will you stand in the breach for all of mankind? And when we say, yes, Lord, he says, good. You are the yeast. They are the flour. Watch what I'm going to do. If you love your family, Jesus says, do what I want and I'll do what you want. Your family doesn't listen to you. They don't want to follow the teachings of the church. They don't want to surrender their life to Jesus and Mary. They love the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's where mankind is. What Jesus is asking us, are you willing to live a life so that you can bring them to heaven with you? That means no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. Will you be the yeast in the midst of creatures? Will you live in the divine will in the midst of creatures? And when we say yes, God goes, good. watch what I'm going to do. It is a little bit of an attachment that binds him. And I do not want to contaminate my grace in the hearts, listen to this, that are not united from everyone. Let him detach himself from everyone, from everything and from everyone. And then my grace shall inundate him more, and he shall feel the necessity, the necessary strength to fulfill my call. So what God is doing to us is this is where we are. We recognize that this call is from God to live in the divine will. We detach ourselves from everything and from everyone because our focus is learning how to live in the divine will through the book of heaven. And then he says, my grace shall then inundate him more. Why? You become that yeast that will bring your family, your friends, your neighbor, your coworkers, your parishioners, to this leaven, this rising, with the grace of God. He says, you will have the necessary strength to fulfill my call. So what is the call of God to the little children of holy divine will? Is it to say to other souls, oh, you got to read the book of heaven? They don't want to read the book of heaven. Is it to say, you got to know Luisa Picaretta? They don't want to know Luisa Picaretta. The whole reason for the book of heaven is that you become the yeast so that everyone will be able to begin to live in the divine will. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, they're the flower. You become the yeast. There's two roles here. The first children of the holy divine will have to become that which God has planned. And it's not to, tell everybody, read Louisa. They're not going to read Louisa. As a matter of fact, they despise Louisa. They reject Louisa. But what Jesus is asking you is you enter into this so well, so much, that he says, you'll find the strength to fulfill my call. Volume 11, 2, 14, 19, 12. It happened at the beginning when the soul is not yet well trained. The soul feels sensitive in suffering, sensitive in praying, sensitive in loving. But when through practice, this is what we're trying to do, the things pass into her human will as her own property and her sensitivity ceases. It becomes natural for us in the divine will. When the need arises for her to use these divine properties, these are divine properties that I, Jesus, make her acquire with firm step and interpretable heart, she begins to exercise them. This is what we do with our prevenient act as the opportunity comes. For example, does suffering come? She finds the strength. She finds within herself the strength and the life of suffering. She must pray? She finds within herself the life of prayer, and so with all the rest. As we begin to live this, as we begin to possess this, everything falls into place. It's the fiat. The fiat is what God is looking for. Volume 14, 3, 16, 19, 22. Therefore, be attentive. And I've always believed this to be read. Be attentive. Read, study. Put this into practice. Because when what you do does not follow in my divine will, if you're not reading, if you're not studying, if you're not putting into this practice, it happens as if the sun stopped its course. When you are distracted, you form clouds before the sun and you remain obscured. God doesn't want that anymore for us. Read, study, put this into practice. However, when the distractions are involuntary, a strong and resolute act of your human will to run in my divine will is enough to place the sun on its course and like a rapid breeze to dispel the clouds in order to make the sun of my divine will shine more beautifully. Do you see why Padre Pio called her a second sun? What's happening is the clouds of darkness dispel. They're gone. The worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints are gone. What happens? A sun appears. There's no more darkness. That's what happens with each and every one of us as we enter into this gift. Volume 16, 529-24. I, God, want my divine will not to lack the noble courage of pain that constitutes the soul firm and strong so that my divine will may form my stable dwelling in the soul and give the soul new and continuous lessons of my divine will. Therefore, I repeat to you, let me do and trust me. Jesus, I trust in you. Watch what God is going to do. Again, the noble courage of pain. A soldier stands on the battlefield, ready to endure. That's us. Whatever you want, God, I will do. Fia. 5:17, 11:27, 24. This is why in creating Luisa, I wanted Luisa to live in my divine will. And that's what God wants with us. He wants us to live in the divine will, one with Luisa. So that arresting this impetuous wind of the human will, it might render her firm and good, stable in love, holy and operating. That's what God wants for us. Cut that out. Put that on your mirror in your bathroom. God wants you to be firm and good, stable in love, and holy in operating. This isn't fallen human nature. This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary found in Luisa. I, God, wanted to let her live in the immense territory of my immutability. There's no change. It's forever in love, holy and operating, firm and good. To be like God, image and likeness of God. Through holy baptism, we are in God's image. With this great gift of the divine will, we enter into God's likeness. Jesus says, I was going to teach Adam this if he didn't fall. But Adam fell, so Adam couldn't receive this to give to his children. Now is the time to learn how to do this. Volume 17, 12:24-24. Daughter, this is the nature of true love, of operating as God. It is firmness and not to withdraw at any cost of any sacrifice. Firmness. This is we're on the battlefield. Not to withdraw at any cost, any sacrifice. This firmness in the works of my victory and the greatest glory of mine is the sign to know whether the creature operates for God. And that means firmness. You stand there ready. The soul looks to no one in the face, neither pains nor herself, nor self-esteem, nor creatures. Even though it may cost her life, she only looks to God. That's us. For love of whom she set herself to operate. And she feels victorious in offering the sacrifice of her life for love of him. It's not by chance that we have this day of recollection on the anniversary of D-Day. Not being firm is of human nature and of human operating, a way of operating. Not being firm is operating of passions with passion. Mutability is weakness. It is cowardness. It is not the nature of true love. Therefore, firmness must be the guide in operating for God. So in my works, Jesus says, I never change. Whatever the events might be, once it is done, forever. We enter into this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. So we'll end there and be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.